Hey, good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here. And if you're listening live, you're listening to Raglan Community Radio 98.1 FM and 89.03 FM coming out of Hamilton throughout the Waikato. And if you're listening back, you'll probably be hearing on either Raglan Community Radio's flashy website or Spotify or some of the podcasting like that. So either way, I hope you enjoy the show. We're going to be doing some primary sector headlines soon, followed by some weather, then some gardening to-dos, and then I'm going to play you another part of the Helen Bint interview I did on the channels a bit later on. But for now, here goes the changelings by the doors. Hope you enjoy this one. Back after that.
You do.
the Changeling there. Now it's time for Primary Sector headlines here over the fence. And New Zealand growers are compiling a living document of information they hope to share with the government and consumers about how expensive and hard it's become to grow the fruit. The document highlights the main issues growers are having, such as rising energy and production costs, labour shortages and biosecurity incursions. Tomatoes New Zealand's chair, Barry O'Neill, said the emissions trading scheme was also having a great impact on growers and thinks that protection should be given to New Zealand growers, as Australian growers are not subject to the ETS or carbon tax production costs, which leads to unfair competition. I get where he's coming from, but it would be interesting to see if New Zealand, which it is, going to go ahead with the emissions trading scheme and the carbon tax on stuff like that, and other countries don't. Where do you kind of draw the line? And is that up to consumers to make their minds up, whether they actually want it or not? So, yeah, it'll be interesting one to follow as other industries face the same thing. And the Department of Conservation is urging whitebaiters to only catch what they need ahead of this shortened season, which begins tomorrow, the 1st of September. The shortened season will end on 30th October, which is 6 weeks shorter than the previous season for most areas. The Chatham Islands are the only exception, with their season starting on December the 1st until the end of February. Dock or Whitebait Fisheries Manager Nick Moody said the shorter season was to prevent overfishing, as four of six of the whitebait species are classified as threatened or at risk of extinction. Fair enough, you'd have to say, I guess. Although some whitebaiters, I remember later on in that article, were saying that that's not going to help. The commercial guys are just going to go harder with better gear and still get the same haul anyway, so... no simple answer, I guess, like a lot of things. And Fonterra has trimmed its forecast milk payout for the season because of weaker prices of demand and inflation. Co-op is forecasting a payout in the range of $8.50 to $10 per kg of milk solids, with a midpoint of $9.25, which is down 25 cents from the previous forecast, but that's still pretty good lurk for Fonterra suppliers there. And a Foundation for Arable Research senior researcher David Densley said maize growers should consider adapting production systems to be more resilient to weather events in the coming season. He adds some of the modelling which was done shows that this last season in the Waikato, another 52 millimetres of water was needed to, or mils of water, I should say, was needed to achieve the same level of growth, mostly due to evapotranspiration rates increasing as the soil temperatures went up. And Hokitika Dairy Company Westland Milk Products said it has cut its coal production by 20% in the previous season, 2021-22, compared to the last season, as they go down their sustainability plan they've set themselves. So, good news story there at the end anyways. All right. So there's your headlines for this week. And I'll come back with some weather after this one called Breaking Glass off David Bowie's Low album, which I read somewhere that he said that was his favourite album he ever made. So here we go. Breaking Glass.
Breaking glass in your
Breaking Glass there by David Bowie. Weather time now on Over the Fence, and a northerly airflow develops and increases over the South Island today, ahead of a front incoming from the southwest, and in the North Island has a ridge of high pressure. However, the weather is fairly static today, tomorrow and Friday, with a ridge of high pressure for the North Island bringing settled weather overall, with Taranaki and Kapiti maybe getting a shower. The high pressure ridge could bring some fog to inland North Island over the next few days, though. Eastern regions may experience highs, perhaps into the early 20s, and upper North Island regions also. For the Waikato, is a mix of sun cloud with possible morning fog. No doubt, I haven't heard, but no doubt in Hamilton, no, there'll be a little bit of fog there today. Light southeasterlies, 10 more easterly to nor'easterly this afternoon. And maybe showers around Coromandel and perhaps up north a bit further in the evening. Sun and cloud, till Saturday, then rain Saturday, shower Sunday till Tuesday. And daytime temperatures range from 16 to 17 degrees till Friday, then between 14 and 15 degrees from Saturday onwards for the rest of the week. And nighttime temperatures quite variable. Tonight, 6 degrees. Tomorrow, 8 degrees. 9 degrees Friday, 11 degrees over the weekend. Then between 6 and 9 degrees Celsius into next week. The winds are predominantly southwesterly today, northerly tomorrow and Friday. Nor'westerly Saturday. South-westerly Sunday. South-westerly Monday. Southerly Tuesdays. And south-southwesterlies next Wednesday. And the humidity today is somewhere between 80 and 91%, depending where you look. And the sun rose this morning at 6:46 a.m. and will set at 5:59 p.m. And the length of visible light is 12 hours and 5 minutes. And the extra day length is 11 hours and 13 minutes. So, yes, we certainly are creeping up to the solstice, which is only a few weeks away from now. And tomorrow will be 2 minutes and 17 seconds longer than it is today. And the moon is a waxing crescent, 20% illuminated. It's a new moon a couple of days ago, which is a lot of, I was reading somewhere, bring a lot of cosmic energies down into Earth. So that's interesting. And the solstice is coming up, like I said earlier, in a few weeks. And it rose at 8:41 this morning, the moon, that is. And it will set at 9:47 this evening. And the full moon is coming up on the 10th of September, so not so far away. And Craig sent me his rainfall, which I thought I ripped somewhere, but I can't find it now. But I think it was something like 30-something mils or something. So not heaps of rain, but I must get back onto doing the rain properly. But anyways, there we go. That's the weather. Now I'm going to play a few Belt of Space retro, because on Friday night I was down at the Yacht Club, watched the gig by the guitarist out of this band. He was also in the Skeptics. And also the Gordons, and I forget his name now, but he played all new stuff with a new band he's got, and it was really good, but none of it's actually out and about yet. I was talking to him after, and he hasn't released kind of any of it yet, so here's Belt of Space Retro. We'll be right back. Wild Space Retro there. With... Yeah, Retro. Sorry. Battle Space Retro. Sorry, the computer was just doing a funny thing. Welcome back to the Over the Fence show, and now it's time for gardening. Some gardening to do for the week. And if you're gardening by the moon, good time to start sowing seeds for leafy greens like silver beet and spinach till like Thursday. And then from Friday, sow seeds for tomatoes and dig in your green manure crops. What else can you plant? In the Waikato, these things. Apples, asparagus, beetroot, blackberries, blueberries, bok choy, cabbage, calendula, cauliflower, coriander, cyclamen, feijoas, forget-me-nots, gladiolus, kale, leeks, lemons, lettuce, lily, limes, mandarins, mesclun, onions, oranges, parsley, peas, parsnips, peaches, pears, plums, radish, raspberries, rhubarb, rocket, roses, spinach, strawberries, and silver beet. So yes, plenty of those nice springy crops coming now, aren't there? And spring's what, tomorrow. So that's cool. That's your gardening threes for the week. Now I'm going to play you an old, like, early 80s New Zealand and Australian, I suppose it's a poppy kind of song. I guess it's Mental as Anything, Too Many Times. Anything too many times, maybe that shook a few memories for some of your listeners out there. Now here's the Chills with A House with 100 Rooms.
My house with 100 of the light makes the picture clearer. It's just an old photograph. There's nothing to hide. When the world was just beginning, I memorized a face so it's not forgotten.
David Byrne there with Brian Eno. Came out about the 90s or maybe 2000s, that one. Home, the song's called. Hope you enjoyed it. Now it's on some public service announcements here on Regland Community Radio 98.1 FM and for Free FM 89.0 and the Whangaroa Talent Factory. That's all. There's a lot of stuff coming up, so I just want to rattle through a few. The entry's closed for that one, Talent Factory, on the 16th of September. So yeah, get into that one. That's for 13 and 18-year-old musicians, singers, MCs, DJs, whatever. And yeah, it went really well last year, so get into that one. And there's also Te Tiriti o Waitangi workshops coming up on the 10th of September, which is Saturday, and the 29th of October, which is also a Saturday, brought to you by Raglan Naturally. And so if you want more information, go to the Raglan Naturally website about that one. But yes, I'll be going to the first one, which I must remember to book when I get home. And so yes, that could be of interest to a lot of people, I'd imagine. So yes, 10th of September, 29th of October, the Te Tiriti o Waitangi workshops. And there's also a Meet the Candidates, the local candidates for the council, the mayoral candidates, the ward councillor candidates, and the community board candidates, all happening, I think it's here in the town hall, I think it is, on the 18th of September from 2 p.m. So, yeah, put that on the calendar, Meet the Candidates thing on the 18th of September, which is Sunday from 2 p.m. There's also a creative market happening on the 11th of September. It's coming up at the old school. And also the Raglan Arts Film Festival Awards. The entries are due for that one on 19th of September. So better get a wriggle on and get into that one if you want to make a film and chuck it into the famous raffers. And also our friends just over the corridor, over the entranceway here in Raglan Community Radio, HQ in the town hall. The Whangaroa Environment Centre, they've got the Aroha stand like usual sitting out in the entranceway there, so free seeds and potting mix and things like that, so you go help yourself to some seedlings, get ready for spring. And I was talking to Jasmine briefly before and they've got heaps of stuff going on, but she was a bit busy, so yeah, go and see the their Facebook page, the Whangaroa Environment Centre, and they've got a lot of stuff happening there. So there we are, there's some public service announcements for you. And I'm going to play the latest song by The Best, which came out a couple of weeks ago, called Knees Deep. And when we come back, I think I'll play another little slice of Helen Bint's interview that I did a few weeks ago now over on Chatham Island. So here's The Best, Knees Deep. It's the best latest one there, Knees Deep. Now I'm going to play for you the Helen Bint, another section of the Helen Bint interview I did on Chatham's. And I first started asking her about how many people went to a school. And here we are.
Probably 20 at a time, maybe a year. Might have been more, but we all went to different places. Some went to boarding schools, but I went to Christchurch, to Belfast, and to Anandi for 3 years. And it does you good to have a bit of New Zealand life, I think, to see what life's like up there. And I went up, I had to go up for a colonoscopy just a few weeks ago to Christchurch, and the first thing you notice is all the clean cars, all the shiny cars. And down here, everybody waves to each other when they're coming towards you. Mm. And you can't stop waving to people. All these cars that come towards you, you just automatically go, and they probably think, oh, is that somebody I know? It's just a different culture, you know. And it's like New York, where the shops are overwhelming and you can't think straight. You have to have a list because it's just too overwhelming. Mm. And you certainly come back overloaded mostly. Yeah, Chatham's are used to us, you know. People tell me, oh, it cost me $600 to bring my empty stuff back. And a Chatham Island woman said to me at the airport, put all your bags in one big black rubbish bag, don't you charge you per bag. Ways of doing things.
Right, yeah.
That you can help yourself, but you've got to find out from somebody else about it, you know. And I just love this pioneering life, and we are pioneering still.
You know, you'd have a boat come out, what, Once every 6 months, once a year, yeah, or something like that?
Yeah, it wasn't very often.
So I remember you saying earlier to me off here that, you know, you used to go to town from up here like...
Once a year. And Dad actually proposed to Mum out here on this farm in 1949. She was from Belfast and Christchurch. He brought her home as a bride, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mum told me this before she died. She said that Dad said to her, well, I'm going to town today on the motorbike to get the mail. Might as well get married while we're in there. Number one, get the mail. Number two, get married.
Okay.
And they were married all their lives happily.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah. And I think the woman, well, those days they didn't go out to work so much. They were homely and made scones. And it's been amazing for me coming home too, catching up with the kids I went to school with. My school teacher, Mrs. Hopkirk, who taught me, her and her husband were teachers and lived on the property. She taught me when I was 5 to 15, and, well, other teachers came after her, but she's still alive in 97, lives in Lower Hutt, and we ring each other all the time. It's 66 years ago that she taught me. It's amazing.
All right.
Yeah, and she's got all her faculties, and we reminisce about things, you know. It's such a special relationship. She said to me one day, call me Merle. I said, I can't still call you Mrs. Hopkirk. Oh, one of the funny things on, the Irishman of the Cane Yacht's calling in. Oh, another time I went to town in my double cab Hilux. I'd just been out of the cottage a couple of years and I had to go to town for something, and I got my 6 big sacks of wheat. And I called into the dump on the way home. I got timber in it because I built sheds, woodshed and a hot house and that.
Right.
And anyhow, I had 2 armchairs on the back of the ute too, because I knew this manager here needed furniture in here, so I put these 2 armchairs. I found 7 bottles of export lager beer on the edge of the glass bottle skip, and I don't drink, but it had lime in it, and I thought, oh, that sounds nice, or I have a drink after I've mowed the lawn, you know. So in here, I was heading home. I knew I had a busload of 30 people due from the hotel to look at the cottage. And I got a flat tyre, and I was always between Port Hutt and Rockatai, where nobody lives. The nuts had rusted up, so I couldn't get them undone. So I just unloaded an armchair, opened a bottle of beer, and sat on the armchair in the fern with all these wild cattle behind me, and looked across the bay at Waitangi. I thought, well, how often do you do this? And I knew they'd be at the house, and they had. Mm. And after about half an hour, they called up, and they were all laughing their heads off at this grey-haired old lady sitting on an armchair in the middle of the fern with a bottle of beer. And they were all journalists from down south, Southland.
Right.
So they got off and took photos, but they couldn't help me change my tyre because they were late getting to the airport. So I just sat on my chair again and thought, oh, somebody else might go past today. You never know. And yeah, local man that's lives by Port Hutt came home from work and he changed it for me. So that's just, I love things like that happening because it's something else to laugh about in the future. So you, if you can turn it around to laugh about it at the time, it doesn't help you if you get upset about it because it doesn't have any different result. Yeah. So, yeah, that was.
There's a good life lesson on that one somewhere, isn't
Yeah, I built a bridge over a creek on a property west of Nelson years ago, and my 7-year-old boy came down on his bush bike down the bank and went to go over the bridge and missed it and ended up in the creek with his bike, and he started throwing down the temper. I said, Tim, I said, one day you're going to laugh about this, so you might as well laugh now. And he does do that
Yeah, good,
now.
good.
And yeah, I was shooting possums every night. I only had a high-powered slug gun, a Winchester, and it was good as a 22. And one night, when I'd let the dogs out to have a pee in the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever, and there's a possum up on the roof or up the tree, I think, oh, I'm not awake enough to shoot, but oh, I better. So I get the gun out this night, and it was a two-story roof, and there's a possum up on the hip of the roof behind the chimney, and I could only see the tips of its ears. So I had 4 shots at it, and the fifth shot, I hit the side of the house, and I was trying to go to bed. So I did, and I had tourists out the next day, and mostly elderly people, and this elderly lady went to the outside loo out that side of the house, and she came back and said, "You've got a dead possum by your tank stand." I said, "Oh God, I've got it, did I?" So yeah, that was just. I would never have had all these adventures in Nelson. That's what keeps me here, is the I'd be bored up there, stagnate. I've got a national award for finding these fossilised sponges. Hames Campbell's due down here at the moment, the geologist. And,
He's a geologist, yes. I've heard his
yeah.
name around, yeah.
Yeah, and he identified them for me, and I've got a national award actually, called the Harold Wellman Award, and they wanted me to fly to Napier to get it, and I said to him, "Sorry, you get it for me. It's too big a trip for just a piece of paper."
So what are these bones? Well, I guess what I'm looking at, folks, here is
That's a
like
stem of a fossilised sponge.
like out of the sea.
Yeah.
Right. What's this one?
That's the actual sponge. It's all lacy on top of the
Yeah, it is
rock.
lacy.
He takes the best ones back to New Zealand to the National Archives and that.
All right.
And I've got actually another, what I think is probably a meteor or something here to give him in a few days' time, something I've never seen before. When I went to high school, my auntie I boarded with was into geology, and we went all around the South Island fossicking, so that fed that interest right from the early age. So I take notice of what's around, and if anything's outstanding, I'll pick it up.
Yeah, no, because there's like fossilised shark teeth here, aren't there?
Yeah, on the edge of the look.
Like thousands of years old in that, aren't
Yeah, I'll just show you something. That talked to Hamish Campbell on the phone and explained what they look like, and I said they look like embryos, not that I've ever seen one, but they're ivory and they're worth $400 to $500 each. And
Let me try and explain what these look like. I mean,
3 inches long, 3 rounds. They're ivory.
Yeah,
Chest
kind of.
nose out of them years
What
ago.
colour would you call that?
Cream.
Creamy kind of colour, yeah.
Shiny.
Interesting. So these would have been bones once upon a time of something.
Whale's ear bones.
Oh, the whale's ear bones.
And they used to make chess players out of them
There you go.
too. I found all this out, I wouldn't have known. So I'll probably give them to the museum before I leave the island in the future.
They're very smooth and kind of
Yeah,
good looking.
I don't think they're a pair either because they're not opposites. But I always ask the tourists, I said, "Do you know what these are?" No, hardly anybody knows what they are. Echo the sound or do something.
And I was talking to someone, and there's a lot of ambergris turns up on the island too. You come
Well, not
across
a
that
lot.
very often.
My parents had a big piece on their sideboard in the sitting room over the old homestead.
And that's just basically whale, like phlegm kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's out of the gut, I think. They use it as a perfume fixer.
Yeah, I've heard
I don't know how
that.
they ever discovered that. I've never found any. It is quite hard to find. It's rare, but you can find. In fact, I've got one of the tourists sent me a book just on ambergris, and there's a photo of a ship's crane lifting a piece on as long as me. I think
Really?
it's on the bow, actually. But the tourists, one of the questions they asked me most was, don't I get bored living at that remote stone cottage? I said, if I didn't have about 15 hobbies, I would. And that's the answer, reading, and I loved it over the cottage. It was like an old Cotswold house, really. Yeah, there's something about pioneering that's very satisfying. And the whole island is still pioneering. It amazes me sometimes there's only 600 people live here, and yet we've got our own air service and ships and functioning as a, functioning island, sort of. I wouldn't think with under 1,000 people that we could survive, but people are resilient and...
Everyone seems to kind of know each other or be related to each other or something over here, all right?
Yeah, when I got my son to come down here, I paid him to come down. He was getting down to it. He's down here permanently now. Very, very clever, fixing fishing boat engines and changing the fishing boat engines and with electronics and everything. And he just absolutely loves it here because of the freedom of everything, I think. And people help each other. And when I first said to him, oh, come down to the Chathams and live, I said, it's like everybody's your first cousin. I said, if you only knew the truth, they probably are. But, yeah, and your parents were friends with their parents, and the same with grandparents and great-grandparents. So you've got that history that connects you from way back too. And there's been some characters down here, you know. Oh, they're the, what makes the place, just like the West Coast or anybody. Every town's got a character. And, Pete Saunders is one of my favourites. He's got a big grey beard. You see him in town. But he had a fox terrier. And my husband and I came home 30 years ago to run my auntie's farm. My uncle died suddenly. And Pete had a dog, Jack Russell, like mine. And its name was Mon. And he just used to say, come on. And that sort of thing is just so special. I've heard there's a farmer here with a dog called Please too, so every time he says, come here, please, get in behind, please, he's been polite with whatever orders he gives it. Yeah, they've got that humour that I think you need in a place like this to, you know, survive. One of the things I always ask the tourists when they arrive, sometimes there was 30 in a bus, and then I said, what's your biggest shock about the island? And they said it's a lot bigger than they expected.
Yeah, that's my thing about it. You know, it takes a long time to drive around.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think it's just, you know, palm tree in the middle and sand around it like an atoll sort of.
Yeah.
I said the tree
where
it is. And when I came home on the freight ship, I asked the skipper the night before, what time we're coming in the morning? He said 7:30. I said, can you wake me up? Because I want to see land coming in, because being born here, it's just was home. So he did, and they were so good to me. Like I said, I spent a lot of time down in the engine room, and I found out they go through 180 litres of diesel an hour, 4,000 litres a day.
Man, it's a lot of diesel.
Yeah, and up in the bridge was a skipper. One of his gauges had our track coming from Timaru to here, and we went in the V and not straight across, and I said, why are we doing that? And he said, because the Chatham Rise is like a boulder bank, shallow, right from here to New Zealand, and you get big waves on it.
All right.
So they avoid that.
Right.
So I found that a lot.
Yeah, all right.
But just that trip, one of the best things I've ever done.
Yeah, right on.
And even the Bristol freighter, after the Sunderland's finished, Mum and I went up on a slow headwind to Christchurch, and we were 3/4 of an hour. It was a 4-hour trip that day, and we were 3/4 of an hour out of Christchurch, and one of the engines backfired and went bang, and all this black smoke went past the chimneys. Mum hates flying anyhow, and she said, we're gonna die, we're gonna die. I said, don't worry, the pilots have got families. And you know, the co-pilot came down and had a cup of tea with a fisherman 2 seats ahead of us, and the fisherman said, oh, it's, what's wrong with the plane? And he said, oh, she'll have to go to Blenheim on Thursday for a bit of a tune-up. You know, they seem so relaxed about it that you relax too. Yeah. Just something else to laugh about.
Yeah.
So it's just anything that goes wrong is another story to talk about.
Another learning experience, like you want to say now. You know?
And like I said, I haven't got power here only at night. Rambo actually found me a good stereo at the recycling, but I can only plug it in at night. But my one, I've got, it runs on D batteries, and all the shops in Waitangi tell me I'm the biggest customer for D batteries. And they double the price here to what they are up there, up to $15 for two.
Ooh.
And I have to have six in that stereo, so I stocked up yesterday with two lots so that I'm right with that. But I don't care what things cost because I don't drink and I don't smoke, so it doesn't matter what things cost. Yeah, and that's how I look at it. And you get clothes, that you need. And in fact, I've got a pair of gum boots a couple of months ago because I go out in the muddy yard to feed the chooks, and my slippy things that you slip into, trugs, are, not so good. So I got these tall gum boots, and I thought, oh, I hate high gum boots. So I got a sharp knife out of the wooden holder, and I cut them right around low, like that. And then I went and fed the chooks, and oh, my socks got wet. Oh, I must have a crack in the bottom and the sole. So I went and got the tops out of the rubbish bag and cut through, laid it out, drew around my foot on a piece of cardboard, made an inner sole out of the top, and put them in the gum boots, and they're perfect.
Nice,
Yeah.
Innovation, eh?
Yeah.
Using what you got to
It's good
make
fun.
stuff happen, you
Yeah,
know.
it's good because you've got less to dump. In fact, our 10 years at this rundown old house closer to a school, we never had any rubbish at all. One bit of rubbish to dump. People just didn't those days because there was no plastic, and everybody had a wood range. So if you had anything paper,
Burn it.
well, you used it the next morning to light the fire.
Oof. And there we are. There's another little bit from Helen Binton, her experiences of life on the Chatham Islands, if you're wondering where she was talking about. So, yes, there we are. There's that one. And now I'm going to play for you David Kilgore and the Heavy Eights, Some Things You Don't Get Back. David Kilgore and the Heavy Eights there with Some Things You Don't Get Back. That's kind of it for the show today. Hope you enjoyed it. And I will be back, hopefully, with a live guest in the studio next week. So have a lovely week, everybody. Thanks for listening. And if you're listening on Raglan Community Radio, Harry's coming in next with a very special guest he's going to ring up on the phone, so I'll keep you in suspense about that one until Harry gets here in about half an hour or something like that. So, yeah, have a lovely day. Enjoy the sunshine while it's here, and spring is tomorrow, the start of spring. So, yes, enjoyable times. Anyways, I'm going to go out with this one here by the Bats called It's a Lie. Ka kite, like Whaaruhi would say, mi haere ho, I've got to go. Enjoy yourselves, folks. Take it easy. Take care of yourselves and everybody else.